to Be Simply. This is She, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We are going to connect with the roots, the foundation of the alchemy of food. And the last segment, we explored some foods. And in this segment, I thought it would be really beneficial to talk about why and how we eat and how we can bring balance into that activity, one, to nourish self, one, to regenerate self, and one, to enjoy self within a balanced manner. So as we explore this, this will really assist any of those individuals here on planet Earth that have been a serial dieter or have struggled with their eating and look towards their body as a way to create a change of lifestyle. However, maybe it's been a perpetual cycle, or have had issue of overeating, overindulging, and maybe have been gone through recovery or are still experiencing something from anorexia or bulimia. It can be any spectrum. The same with anything we can consume. Even if we aren't mindful with a little bit or a lot, it can impact us and can notify us that we have an imbalance. So to just ground the situation, what I'd like you to do is we're going to finish listening to that song called The River. This is about connecting to your flow, your rhythm in nature and within yourself. By doing this, you'll have greater harmony within your physical temple. In some of the teachings in the East, they will talk about how precious a human life is, how precious it is to have a human body. While we don't need to be overly compulsive about that human body, it is important to remember to have somewhat of a reverence for it, because it carries your uniqueness. It houses your soul, which is this beautiful articulation that not only serves here on planet Earth, but in the universe. So why wouldn't you want to take care of it? For many of you, you might be able to relate to the fact of taking care of your car, your actual physical vehicle, which would be another metaphorical extension of what is holding your essential inner light. So with that being said, I'd love for you just to close your eyes and connect deeply with your relationship with food. How have you connected with it throughout your life? And as you do that, just revisit from childhood to now. Notice when, where, and how you have enjoyed eating or not enjoyed eating, and what it means to you, and what's the dialogue you might have when you go to sit down and eat something or have a meal. Take a deep breath in, breathing in and out, and just finding that inner peace with self by exploring how you nourish self. The river, she is And take a full body breath, breathing in and out. And just reconnecting to this moment. And now that you've had a moment just to dive into why, how you eat, this can be your first practice. And we talked a little bit about this in the previous segment I did, is that if you start connecting and really when you sit down, notice how you're eating. Is there an emotional alarm? Is this something deeper that's unresolved? Typically, if you have any type of eating condition, I'd rather call it than a disorder, eating condition is because there's something emotionally based there, whether it was an abandonment, whether it's low self-worth, whatever it might be. So the key here is, one, to remember that food's meant to nourish us, not meant to be a pacifier, or is it not meant to destroy us, too? So if you bring that into your awareness and start to bring in the practice of noticing when you're wanting to eat, what you're putting in your mouth, if you're feeling anxiety and stress, or you're loading up on sugars, what are your comfort foods? It's okay to have comfort foods, but to eat those in moderation and save those for those moments that it might, that you want to be at home with mama or papa, and that food just brings you that comfort. I'll give an example. My dad would always come home from work and eat one of those big, like, Bavarian pretzels, the hard pretzels, and that always reminds me of him, and I don't make a habit of eating a lot of pretzels, but if I want to connect to that memory, it's a great way to do it. It wouldn't be so healthy if I pacified myself with those pretzels because I couldn't deal with something emotional. But if I wanted to revisit that and just find a piece through the ley line of a memory from one of my parents, that's a great way to reconnect. Or if there's a special recipe that was made in the family, that's another healthy, balanced way to reconnect rather than going out and eating a loaf of bread, a long baguette all in one sitting, or overindulging in a recipe till you're ill, or making a large batch of cookies and eating all of them. These are showing us that we're not in balance, and typically we may not have self-control, and that's part of that gluttony, which most of our Western civilization on one level or another is gluttonous, because we are a consumption-based world system. So if we want to start shifting that in the area of food, we can bring that mindfulness in by identifying why and when you're eating. Then you can start to create habits that will start to slowly correct that. I am not personally a big advocate for dieting. My personality, the way I am, I don't do well with really elaborate, restrictions or constraints and ounces and weight. Again, this creates a lot of complication in my mind's eye. My hope for every being is that they can find a simple, harmonious way to relate with themselves, the planet, and each other. When we bring a lot of complexity in, it can be overwhelming because we have a lot of other things that we are managing. So why add complexity to all these things that are there to aid us? Food and water are there to fuel us so we can make it through our day and do our work and be with our family and keep our body running, regenerating. So practice number one is to start evaluating how you're eating, when you're eating. Take the time to do that. Take a week or two or three to really note and maybe jot it down in your mental journal or write it down in a journal. Just start to notice where the habits are and why. And if you notice you're really stressed in a moment, you're going to eat that chocolate bar, sit down and write about that. Take a few minutes and bring some breath work in. Once you've evaluated where and why you're eating, then say, why don't I start to play around with this a little bit and notice the foods and the situations. Practice number two can be to start to shape shift those habits. So if you really like to eat chocolate and maybe overindulge, rather than completely eliminate it from your diet, I don't think that's really a reasonable thing to do. Some people can do it, but I would say for the most part, that's going to feel like you are being put in a chocolate silo, like you can't have chocolate and it's going to make you want it more. So rather than taking it away, just find maybe some nicer chocolate, spend a little bit more money on it, or find the chakra that you love, and then start being in the practice to see if you can have some self-control. So this is practice number two. How can we have self-control with what we consume? So rather than buying quantity, think about quality and the quality of what you're putting in your body. So you don't need large amounts, but just a little bit. And this will be sometimes a metaphor, as known, say in France, they eat very rich foods, but they're not eating large quantity because their system couldn't handle it. The same way has been noted some parts of Asia that meats, they're not eating large quantity. It's a flavoring, a little bit added in there. I know in the Netherlands, my friends up there, again, it's not quantity. It's just the quality. You know, they'll eat certain indulgences that we might not ever think of here in the West. However, they're not eating large quantities. So start to think about where you can have self-control. And from there, then you're going to think of replacement foods where maybe you're eating a bag of AKA Doritos, some kind of chips that aren't healthy, and maybe you don't have the self-control just to eat the serving, which might be only a handful of chips versus the whole bag. So rather than going for that, that might be we're no longer going to buy those at the store. And if we do feel we need to still have them, we're going to buy something that's more healthy for us, something that doesn't have preservatives, something that doesn't have GMOs, something that's organic and made as holistically as possible. That will create a better net result because you're having at least a little bit better food put into your system. So then the alternative might be, okay, I'm really craving potatoes, chips, so maybe you start preparing a oven-roasted potato or maybe a sautéed potato or a baked potato in your diet, and that gives you still that relationship to the potato you're craving, but it's not fried, and it takes a little bit more time to prepare. You're starting to understand that you're really craving something to ground you. It's a root vegetable, and that also you're craving some minerals potentially and potassium. When you look at what you're eating and why you're eating, you'll know, like, chocolate definitely has an emotional trigger. It takes us out of a mood. It can actually calm us down and put us in a better harmonious place. So when we start to look at what we're eating, then we can start to substitute. People that really crave sugar and go up and down on this roller coaster ride, at first you might want to start bringing in fruits that are in season, and then from there, once you've gotten yourself off the pure cane sugar, then you can start alternating with fruits, maybe some other sweeteners, and then slowly weaning yourself off that. We do not need that much sugar, that much sweet stuff. You'll notice that typically those abundant fruits grow in spring and summer, and the rest of the year it's pretty simple fruits, apples, pears. Unless you live in a tropical area, there's a reason for that. So think about what you're eating and how. So those are just three examples of where you can notice, oh, I need to make a little bit of an adjustment with why I'm eating. So our practice is one to evaluate, then to start to remove some of those things from our diet or find a more healthy alternative and reducing the quantity that we're consuming. And then from there is saying, okay, I'm wanting this. My emotions are maybe upset or stressed, and so I want the chocolate. I want the impact of what the chocolate does. Bring in a higher quality chocolate. Bring in less chocolate, and then sit there and mindfully eat it. And then the next thing to evaluate is the deeper core issues within why you're going to food to make you feel better. What are you numbing out that you're not addressing? Is it self-worth? Is it stress? Is it something deep-rooted that you came in here to master? So that aspect of gluttony, and do you have self-control? Can you enjoy something just a little bit, or can you actually even abstain from it and not satiate your senses with those foods and sit a little bit in that discomfort for a moment and understand why? So I want you to sit with that right now, to sit with that aspect of gluttony and where you might be gluttonous in your current life. And we all, I think all of us that are living at this moment on planet Earth, have some level of gluttony, whether it's food, alcohol, shopping, over-consuming media, whatever it might be. Right now, I want you to bring it into the body and see what and where you'd like to bring balance to your psyche, and so that you no longer have to have this battle with how your physical body is looking and with your emotional subset, that you can start to create harmony between that system. So right now, I want you to close your eyes and just connect for a moment to, we're going to listen to the album Leaf, Falling from the Sun, where you would just like to let some of the stuff that has maybe over-controlled you in your lifetime and let it go, and welcome in that harmony with how you nourish your temple, your sacred body, and see what comes up, see what appears first as you're listening. And then we'll finish up this episode by diving a little bit deeper into that root and give you one last practice to connect with as you step out back into the world of eating, maybe with a little bit more harmony. So with that being said, take a deep breath, breathing in and out, closing the eyes, and then bringing that breath up from the sacral region in the root, and allowing that breath to flow up your entire body from the root all the way up through the crown and down, creating this loop, clearing out your energy centers, and connecting to how you relate to your emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual body, and how you would like to nourish it in the next.
The sky is burning when the clouds
And now taking a deep breath in and just reflecting back onto what you connected with during the album Leaf Falling from the Sun. And as you've connected with how you're eating and how you'd like to really maybe resolve that deeper root, if you've been on this lifelong journey of not feeling completely satisfied with how your physical being is working and reflects to the outer world, it doesn't really matter what your shape is. You could have any shape imaginable on your physical dwelling, but is it healthy? And how do you feel about it? And if you don't feel great about it, more than likely you haven't been nourishing it properly. There's something in that emotional subset. So hopefully during that song, you're able to connect to what that is, what that root is. And it can be fear. It can be feeling that you don't have control in your life. So you're, again, connecting to that root. You know, it's like wanting that home-cooked meal from your mother or your father to remind you, to bring you back to that stability that you felt as a child. Or maybe you didn't feel stable as a child, and you use food as a way to feel that comfort, to try to grab onto something. So that's what happens. In Ayurveda, when we talk about the Vata, if your dosha Vata is out of balance, you have three subsets, Vata, Pitta, Kapha. And in Vata, without going completely into that today, when the Vata is out of balance, we are usually too much in our head and stress and anxiety, and the mind's running rapidly, and it's recommended to connect to the earth, connect to the element of earth, and really eat foods that will hold you there. So the same thing, that's why sometimes eating disorders, I don't like to use that word, eating habits, that's a funny word, that some of these eating habits that we adopt are actually there because we want our safety net, we want our blanket like we might have had as a kid, or something to grab onto. So we can simply do this by eating more grounding foods, stuff from the earth, root vegetables, fresh vegetables. If you don't have a lot of these in your diet, that'll again connect you to earth, connect you to the root, ground you in the situation, and allow ourselves to really evaluate what's going on. So how do we liberate past the emotional eating? How do we liberate past maybe that key moment? Well, I can't liberate it in this moment, but I can point you in the right direction, meaning that one, to identify it, begin to identify it. And if you want to explore it on a one-on-one basis, feel free to reach out to me, send me an email, give me a call, and we can really address it personally one-on-one. However, the first step would be for you, as we did earlier, just to evaluate and really pinpoint it. Be objective. Be that eagle flying up above and say, wow, this happened. I can intellectually see what happened, yet I'm having trouble getting past it. So that's step number two. You want to employ someone like myself or someone else that can help you identify it and help you move past it. You can use the tool of food if you're really mindful with it and you're ready to start listening to your body and what you need to put into it by connecting with it, connecting with what you need. So as you do that, just connect there and say, okay, what do I need and what have I been avoiding or distracted with? When there are these root issues, it has nothing to do with the food. The practice of just minimizing the amount you're eating, finding a better alternative, and then start listening to the body. When you start to listen to the body, you'll start craving the foods that you need for your physical health to re-nourish. If you're having trouble with anemia or low blood, you might start craving foods that are going to bring that into balance, because you're starting to listen. The eating is not about something emotional or some trauma or feeling stress or anxiety. It becomes about, what do I need? And it's not about a trend either. Right now we have a lot of trends that have occurred in the superfood industry. So people are over-pacifying themselves with a superfood because they're like, I need this, this is good. But do you really need it? Have you learned to listen? And are you avoiding addressing that emotional issue that causes you to propel that way? And if you have dis-ease in your body, there's something to be addressed that was not in harmony in that mind, body, and spirit. They're not separate from each other. They work in conjunction. So I really encourage you to really evaluate, take that practice to see where you're eating, when you're eating, and how you're eating. create some modifications, substitute foods that are more healthy, notice what the cravings are. Maybe you're having subtle cravings for certain things, and that's because you're deficient in areas. It's a real simple, typically, attunement. And then address where you're not feeling at ease with self, whether you have an addiction to eating, so therefore that needs to be addressed, where you're having health issues, and so maybe there needs to be some modifications to the diet to support those health issues so you can return to wellness. And then address the root. It's not by accident. Food is from the root. Address those fears. Are you afraid of life? Are you afraid of something that you would like to make peace with? And why are you afraid of it? And what does it mean? So once you start doing that, you're going to start to really see eating in your relationship a little bit differently. That's the first step. And then I really encourage you, get some assistance if you need it, depending where you are. If you have great self-control, again, that gluttony, we liberate it when we have more self-control. That doesn't mean you're denying yourself. It means that you have the ability to say, no, I don't really want to eat 2 dozen cookies, or no, I don't want to eat that whole chocolate bar. I just want a square. That's restraint. That's showing that you have the ability and the discernment to know when something's not good for you. If we're overeating, we're showing that we don't have discernment and we don't have the willpower to not harm ourselves. And guess what? If we don't know how to do that for ourselves, we're not going to be as effective out in the world that we're operating in. It'll affect our family life, our work life, and all of those other things. So going forward, we're going to exit out with a little bit of Krishna Das, Sri Ram Jai Ram. So Ram connects us to our solar plexus, our willpower. Jai, how can you surrender and just let go? So think about that, where you're ready to let go, where you're ready to employ your willpower, your restraint, your focus within the alchemy of food, within your roots. And if you're inspired and you want to connect deeper, please feel free to send me an email. I'm going to just give you my Gmail address, SuzanneToro@gmail.com, SuzanneToro@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message here on this episode. And next time, we'll dive a little bit further into the roots. We'll explore some more fun recipes and how we can bring levity to eating and enjoying each other. Until next time, this is She signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, and a namaste.
Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Sitaram, 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 Sitaram,